Marge Potasek was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the knowledge book that provided all the answers. She is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. Please call 1-973-787-7035 or email mmjp99@gmail.com with questions. If you send your postal address to mmjp99@gmail.com, you will receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a gift. Now, here is your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you're listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. We will continue with our Omega Talks that we've been doing for a while, and to give a short explanation. The Omega Talks, or conferences that we've been doing for a while now, basically is to allow special energies to be given to the planet. And these energies are being given from the Omega dimension. And this is the 19th dimension, which is at the 76th energy level. Now, this dimension has never been open to humanity, not in the sacred texts and not directly. The Omega dimension is also known as the Union of Central Suns, and it is a unification dimension of all of us, and all of us will eventually be unified there when we follow the path designed in the Knowledge Book. Up till now, the highest dimension and highest energy that was given to humanity is the Alpha dimension, which is the dimension of love, and this is at the 72nd energy level. And starting with the publication of the Knowledge Book, the 19th dimension, the high energy dimension, has been open to humanity through the Knowledge Book. The Omega Talks are given once a month on a wide variety of topics, and the knowledge that is being given is actually linked to the Union of Central Suns or Omega Dimension. The talks that are given are charged with Omega energy. And again, Omega is the dimension of unification, and those who participate in the talk, those who are in the talks, they form a magnetic field by focusing on the talk being given. And that field then opens up the Omega dimension, and it is open to the entire world. And this helps people to achieve this positive consciousness so that anyone who takes part in Omega Talk is actually doing a great service to humanity, since everyone on the planet, even those who are not reading the Knowledge Book, are able to receive this positive Omega energies. So we will continue with our topics and discussions, and this time around, we're talking about love. When you think about it, it's very hard to put into words and express what our feelings are as far as love is concerned. Many have tried, some have succeeded, but I'm sure everyone has been in a situation being unable to find the words to express the feeling of love that we have, and in order to be able to tell the other person how much we love them or express our love in a way that succinctly and clearly expresses our feeling. So some of history's greatest minds and most talented wordsmiths have used their talents trying to describe this most powerful and ephemeral of experiences. It's an emotion that moves and inspires us, and also one that can feel impossible to adequately express. Challenging as it may be, the task of finding the right words to tell your nearest and dearest how much they mean to you may be easier after reviewing these words from some of our greater writers and minds. To quote Plato, at the touch of love, everyone becomes a poet. We certainly can't all expect to be Shakespeare, Rumi, or an Einstein, but we can sift through the treasure trove of quotes about love, which they and other brilliant minds created for us all. So let's enjoy the beautiful words written, spoken, or sung by some of the most gifted minds in the world. So we start with the Bible. This is from Corinthians, quote, love is always patient and kind. It is never jealous. Love is never boastful or conceited. It is never rude or selfish. It does not take offense and is not resentful. Love takes no pleasure in other people's sins, but delights in the truth. It is always ready to excuse, to trust, to hope, and to endure whatever comes. Now, this quote comes from Katharine Hepburn, who lived between 1907 and 2003. And it may be some of you are familiar with this stage actress. She was known to be a spirited performer with a touch of eccentricity. And of course, her New England accent. She introduced into her roles a strength of character previously considered to be undesirable in Hollywood leading ladies. As an actress, she was noted for her brisk upper-class New England accent and tomboyish beauty. Quote, love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get, only with what you are expecting to give, which is everything. Helen Adams Keller lived between June 1880 and June 1968, was an American author, disability rights advocate, political activist, and lecturer. Born in West Tuscumbia, Alabama, she lost her sight and her hearing after a bout of illness when she was 19 months old. I'm sure many of you have read her biography, read her story. And there was also a film that depicted this in a motion picture. So her quote is, what we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us. Now, Ann Landers was a very famous advice columnist for 47 years. Her advice was printed in English language papers all over the world. She was the most widely read human relations advisor of all time and the most widely syndicated. At the height of the newspaper business, when many towns had two or more newspapers, her readership was 90 million people. Her trademark was common sense advice rendered in everyday language and often with a dash of humor. So her quote about love is friendship that has caught on fire. Jane Austen, who lived between 1775 and 1817, was an English writer who first gave the novel its distinctly modern character through her treatment of ordinary people in everyday life. Her novels defined the era's novel of manners, but they also became timeless classics that remain critical and popular successes for over two centuries after her death. And the depiction of the novel Pride and Prejudice has been seen on TV and the movies and has been produced more than once because it is so popular. And her quote on love is, there is no charm equal to tenderness of the heart. So if you want to attract someone, according to her, when you have a tender heart, when you have love in your heart, then that becomes an attractive force that brings people to you. And Aristotle, who lived between 384 and 322 before the Common Era, is an ancient Greek philosopher and scientist, and one of the greatest intellectual figures of classical antiquity and Western history. So his quote about love is, "Love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies." Again, love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, born in 1749 and died in 1832, was a German poet, playwright, novelist, scientist, statesman, theater director, critic, and amateur artist, and he is considered the greatest German literary figure of the modern era. And he explains love in the following way. Love does not dominate, it cultivates. It does not force anyone into any particular mold. It actually allows that individual to grow and develop into that individual's best selves. Love does not dominate, it cultivates. Now, Lao Tzu, who was alive about 500 before the Common Era, also known as Lao Tzu or Lao Tzu, was a Chinese philosopher credited with founding the philosophical system of Taoism. So he has two quotes that we put together for unlove. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. Again, being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. And the second one is, love is of all passions the strongest, for it attacks simultaneously the head, the heart, and the senses. Robert Frost, born in 1874 and died in 1963, was an American poet who was much admired for his depictions of the rural life of New England, his command of American colloquial speech, and his realistic verse portraying ordinary people in everyday situations. And his quote is, "Love is an irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired." And again, this is a play on words. Love is an irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired. Victor Hugo was a poet, novelist, and dramatist who was the most important of the French Romantic writers. Though regarded in France as one of that country's greatest poets, he is better known abroad for such novels as Notre Dame de Paris and Les Miserables. And of course, we are familiar with Les Miserables, that it was a stage play and then also has been made into a film. So his quote is, "The greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved. Loved for ourselves, or rather, loved in spite of ourselves." I think that hits home, at least for me. The greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved. Loved for ourselves, or rather, loved in spite of ourselves. There is a poem that kind of depicts this, and this is called Why Nobody Pets the Lion at the Zoo. So if you have a chance to look it up, it's online. Why Nobody Pets the Lion at the Zoo. And it basically depicts and explains further this quote from Victor Hugo. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Where there is love, there is life." He lived between 1869 and 1948. He was an Indian lawyer, a politician, a social activist, and a writer who became the leader of the nationalist movement against the British rule of India. So he's a peace activist and a peace missionary. And this is something that we are supposed to be, peace missionaries. Where there is love, there is light, life. Unless you love someone, nothing else makes sense. Now, E.E. Cummings, who lived between 1894 and 1962, was an American poet, painter, essayist, author, and playwright. His poems are known for having no capital letters and mostly no punctuations, and written in a way that is difficult to express and difficult to understand. So this is one of his, I think, easier poems. Hopefully I can do it justice. Love is the voice under all silences. The hope which has no opposite in fear. A strength so strong, mere force is feebleness. The truth more first than sun, more last than star. Again, love is the voice under all silences. The hope which has no opposite in fear. The strength so strong, mere force is feebleness. The truth more first than sun, more last than star. Alexander Smith is a New Zealand politician and diplomat who was High Commissioner of New Zealand to the United Kingdom from 2013 to 2017 and Speaker of the House of Representatives from 2008 to 2013. So his expression of love is about the discovery of ourselves in others and the delight in that, in the recognition. Again, love is about the discovery of ourselves in others and the delight in the recognition. So when we look at the essence of humanity, at the essence of a human, our essences are all the same. We are the initial spark that God created, and that essence has been pure and has been powerful and has been light throughout the ages. So if we look at others, not with our heads, but with our heart, with our essence, then we will recognize the essence of someone else, and that essence is the same as us. So we're actually discovering ourselves in another human when we communicate essence to essence and accept each other essence to essence. Love is the answer to everything. It's the only reason to do anything. This is a quote from Ray Bradbury, who lived between 1920 and 2012. He was an American author and screenwriter, one of the most celebrated 20th century American writers. He worked in a variety of genres, including fantasy, science fiction, horror, mystery, and realistic fiction. If not I'm mistaken, Ray Bradbury was instrumental in The Twilight Zone. I think he also worked in Star Trek. So love is the answer to everything. It's the only reason to do anything. Now, William Makepeace Thackeray, who lived between 1811 and 1863, was a British novelist, author, and illustrator. He is known for his satirical works. So his idea about love is, it is better to love wisely, no doubt, but to love foolishly is better than not to be able to love at all. So if you can love, love wisely. If you can't, then at least you'll have been able to love, and that's an accomplishment. In dreams and in love, there are no impossibilities. So in dreams and in love, there are no impossibilities. Janusz Arne. Janusz Arne, born 1817 and died in 1882, is the greatest Hungarian epic poet. He debuted on the literary scene in 1847 with his popular epic Toldi, which was received with enthusiasm by a public craving by a public craving for a national literature of quality in a language all could grasp. So he's a nationalist poet and an epic poet. Now, this is someone that we may all know, John Lennon, John Winston Ono Lennon, born in 1940 and died in 1980, was an English singer, songwriter, and musician who gained worldwide fame as the founder, core songwriter, co-lead vocalist, and rhythm guitarist of the Beatles. So one quote is, love is the answer, and you know that for sure. Love is a flower. You've got to let it grow. Another quote, love is a promise. Love is a souvenir. Once given, never forgotten. Never let it disappear. This is a very popular song. You could even hear it now. I'm actually surprised at how many people, young people of today, actually know the Beatles when they were active in, you know, a long time ago, back in 1960. So All You Need Is Love is a song by the English rock band The Beatles. It was written by John Lennon and credited to the Lennon-McCartney partnership. There is nothing you can do that can't be done. There is nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. There's nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. There is nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. So, good old John Lennon. And of course, we have William Shakespeare. We couldn't talk about love without sharing some of Shakespeare's work. He is considered the greatest English-speaking writer in history and known as England's national poet. William Shakespeare lived between 1564 and 1616 and has had more theatrical works performed than any other playwright. He wrote at least 37 plays and a collection of sonnets, established the legendary Globe Theatre, and helped transform the English language. Now, one thing you may not know about William Shakespeare is that he created words out of thin air. So I think I read somewhere that William Shakespeare created maybe over 100 words. I may be wrong on the number, but he created a lot of words. If he didn't find a word, then he created them. And eventually we learned the meaning by the context where those words were situated. So love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. So love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. So basically, it describes acceptance of the person in front of you without changing in anything, without wanting to change anything, and actually staying calm and peaceful throughout the process. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind. This comes from the Midsummer Night's Dream. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind. So this again is seeing essence to essence. Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. So love is powerful and is able to find solutions and get to the results and accomplish a goal because they have a power of will, and that will is love. And that comes from Romeo and Juliet. My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is as deep. My love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. Again, my bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi is a 13th century philosopher and mystic of Islam who is known throughout the world for his exquisite poems and words of wisdom. Mevlana's doctrine advocates unlimited tolerance, positive reasoning, goodness, charity, and awareness through love. To him, all religions contain the truth. Looking with the eye, same eye on Muslim, Jew, and Christian alike, Mevlana's peaceful and tolerant teaching has appealed to men of all sects and creeds. Mevlana was born on 30th September 2012-07 in Balkh, which is presently in Afghanistan, and he died on 17th December 1273 in Konya in present-day Turkey. And the woman to whom the book was dictated is a reincarnation of this Mevlana. He was a he back in the 13th century, and he came in with his mission at that time, which is to produce the Mesnavi, which actually contains the 18th dimension energies, and introduce the 18th dimension energies to the world. Because the Mesnavi have been translated into multiple languages, and through this translation, that 18th dimension energies are available to many people of the world. And currently, her mission is to bring in the knowledge book, and which is a unification of all religions, contains all the essence, energies, and knowledge from all the religious texts, all the religious books, and to distribute and unify the book to the world, and to unify the people in the world in love, friendship, and brotherhood, sisterhood. And actually, each one of us is part of that mission. Each one of us is actually a peace missionary that is responsible to spread the word, to utilize love to attract people, and to show that love is a powerful force that heals all ills and heals everyone. This is a quote from Rumi. This is love. To fly towards the secret sky, to cause 100 veils to fall each moment. First, to let go of life. In the end, to take a step without feet, to regard this world as invisible, and to disregard what appears to be the self. Heart, I said, what a gift it has been to enter this circle of lovers, to see beyond seeing itself, to reach and feel within the breast. Another quote, love is reckless, not reason. Reason seeks a profit. Love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard surfaced and straightforward. Having died of self-interest, she risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every gift God bestows. Without cause, God gave us being. Without cause, gave it back again. Again, love is reckless, not reason. Reason seeks a profit. Love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard surfaced and straightforward. Having died of self-interest, she risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every gift God bestows. Without cause, God gave us being. Without cause, it give it back again. Again, that's from Mesnavi. Another quote from Rumi. A lifetime without love is of no account. Love is the water of life. Drink it down with heart and soul. And again, this is Devani Shams. 11909. A lifetime without love is of no account. Love is the water of life. Drink it down with heart and soul. Now we have a quote from the Knowledge Book about love in fascicle 2. And it deals with Mevlana as well. Mevlana, who has always been connected with his God, received the command of writing his Mesnavi even before coming to the world. The goal was for him to shed light on society he was in. Mevlana, who said that the frequency of love was even higher than the firmament, embraced the entire universe with his love. This is such a love that only those who reach its true meaning know. This is the love of God that everyone seeks but cannot find. So again, Mevlana, who said that the frequency of love was even higher than the firmament, embraced the entire universe with his love. This is such a love that only those who reach its true meaning know. This is the love of God that everyone seeks but cannot find. Now, Albert Einstein, we know him. He's famous for his physics and theory of relativity. None of us, at least especially not me, would have associated Einstein with having anything to do with love and with emotions or with philosophy. However, I was surprised because Albert Einstein, who was born on the 14th of March, 1879, which is Pi Day, and died on April 1955. So interesting fact, Einstein was born on Pi Day, which is the 14th of March, and Stephen Hawking died on Pi Day, the 14th of March. So Einstein was a German-born physicist who developed the special and general theories of relativity and won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1921 for his explanation of the photoelectric effect. Einstein is generally considered the most influential physicist of the 20th century. Liesel, the daughter of the famous genius, donated 1,400 letters written by Einstein to the Hebrew University with orders not to publish their contents until two decades after his death. So apparently there is stuff that he wrote at the time that he was alive that he knew was not, would not be accepted by the populace at that time. So he asked his daughter to allow those papers, allow those letters to be published long after his death. So this is the letter that he wrote to his daughter. When I proposed the theory of relativity, very few understood me. And what I will reveal now to transmit to mankind will also collide with the misunderstanding and prejudice in the world. I ask you to guard the letters as long as necessary, years, decades, until society is advanced enough to accept what I will explain below. There is an extremely powerful force that, so far, science has not found a formal explanation to. It is a force that includes and governs all others, and is even behind any phenomenon operating in the universe and has not yet been identified by us. This universal force is love. When scientists looked for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force. Love is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals. For love, we live and die. Love is God, and God is love. This force explains everything and gives meaning to life. This is the variable that we have ignored for too long. Maybe because we are afraid of love, because it is the only energy in the universe that man has not learned to drive at will. To give visibility to love, I made a simple substitution into my most famous equation. If instead of E equals MC squared, we accept that the energy to heal the world can be obtained through love multiplied by the speed of light squared, we arrive at the conclusion that love is the most powerful force there is because it has no limits. After the failure of humanity in the use and control of the other forces of the universe that have turned against us, it is urgent that we nourish ourselves with another kind of energy. If we want our species to survive, if we are to find meaning in life, if you want to save the world and every sentient being that inhabits it, love is the one and only answer. Perhaps we are not ready to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to entirely destroy the hate. Excuse me. Needed to drink of water. So perhaps we are not ready to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to entirely destroy the hate, selfishness, and greed that devastate the planet. However, each individual carries within them a small but powerful generator of love whose energy is waiting to be released. When we learn to give and receive this universal energy, dear Liesl, we will have affirmed that love conquers all, is able to transcend everything and anything, because love is the quintessence of life. I deeply regret not having been able to express what is in my heart. Which has quietly beaten for you all my life. Maybe it's too late to apologize, but as time is relative, I need to tell you that I love you. And thanks to you, I have reached the ultimate answer. Your father, Albert Einstein. Now a thought struck me. Albert Einstein's last words were spoken in German. The nurse tending him heard those words, but since she did not speak German, she couldn't tell anyone what those words were. And having read this letter, I'm wondering whether it was spoken about love. So I'm going to read this letter again because it is basically an encapsulation and puts in a nutshell, as it were, a big nutshell of all the other quotes that we've been going through in this presentation. It talks about essence to essence. It talks about love's power. It talks about giving and not taking anything back. So I'll read it again. When I proposed the theory of relativity, very few understood me. And what I will reveal now to transmit to mankind will also collide with the misunderstanding and prejudice in the world. I ask you to guard the letters as long as necessary, years, decades, until society is advanced enough to accept what I will explain below. There is an extremely powerful force that, so far, science has not found a formal explanation to. It is a force that includes and governs all others, and is even behind any phenomenon operating in the universe that has not yet been identified by us. This universal force is love. So it gives us the knowledge that's also given in the knowledge book that there is a force and love is a force that humankind still cannot and is not able to measure, is not able to identify scientifically and measure scientifically. And that force is love. When scientists look for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force. Now, scientists are still looking for the unified theory that brings all the theories into one and that brings all the different particles that they have found into a logical form. So when scientists looked for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force. Love is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals, for love we live and die. Love is God and God is love. So this is basically a poem. This force explains everything and gives meaning to life. This is the variable that we have ignored for too long. Maybe because we are afraid of love, because it is the only energy in the universe that man has not yet learned to drive at will. So we can produce an atomic bomb. We can control and use fire. We can control and use electricity. We can use all kinds of forces in nature at our will, at our direction. However, we have not, in science, been able to control love and actually turn it into a destructive force. To give visibility to love, I made a simple substitution in the most famous equation. So instead of E equals MC squared, or that is energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, we accept that the energy to heal the world can be obtained through love multiplied by the speed of light. So E becomes love. So it leaves out the mass. So it becomes only love equals the speed of light squared. We arrive at the conclusion that love is the most powerful force there is because it has no limits. It is infinite. After the failure of humanity in the use of and control of the other forces of the universe that have turned against us, it is urgent that we nourish ourselves with another kind of energy. If we want our species to survive, if we are to find meaning in life, if we want to save the world and every sentient being that inhabits it, love is the one and only answer. Perhaps we are not ready to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to entirely destroy the hate, selfishness, and greed that devastate the planet. However, each individual carries within them a small but powerful generator of love whose energy is waiting to be released. When we learn to give and receive this universal energy, dear Liesl, we will have affirmed that love conquers all, is able to transcend everything and anything because love is the quintessence of life. And here he expresses his frustration at not having been able to really put into words his own feelings, though at the same time, the words that he put together in a letter encapsulates and encompasses all the previous quotes of love that we have gone through. So I deeply regret not having been able to express what is in my heart, which has quietly beaten for you all my life. Maybe it's too late to apologize, but as time is relative, I need to tell you that I love you, and thanks to you. I have reached the ultimate answer. Another quote from the Knowledge Book about love. In Satika 12, it says, love gains power in accordance with the potentials of frequencies. It is a whole. It loses its power as it is divided into fragments. The description of love is subject to the value unit of frequencies. Love is a great vibration that cannot be confined to petty feelings. If we notice, if you notice, we say vibration. We do not say feeling. Feelings are your bodily desires. They are not love. Love is such a vibration that its waves envelop the entire universe. Love of nature is the mirror image of a whole on you. Your life on your planet begins with your eloquence to beauty. There is giving in genuine love, but there is no reciprocation. In unselfish love, you are integrated with nature and exalted spiritually. So love is a frequency. It is not a feeling. Love is a frequency that can envelop anything and everything. It can surpass anything and everything. And love is something as a vibration that science has not been able to, number one, identify, and number two, measure. And it continues, in everything in which you expect reciprocation, there is ego. Such feelings of yours will always be temporary as they have effect only on a limited and specific field. In genuine love, the marvelous vibrations that rise and flows from you, melting in all beauty, will cause you to transcend beyond your walls of thought and cognizance. These beautiful vibrations will take you to unknown supremacies on the condition that there is no obstacle in their way. This will be your genuine happiness. The description of love is giving from the essence. It is our wish that these beautiful feelings may radiate in the essence heart of everyone. So, if you give someone love, or you give them a gift, or you give them anything, and if you expect anything back of equal measure, then that is not love. That is a barter system. This is something that is given to someone as a device to get something back. In genuine love, you give and you're tied to that which you have given is cut. That individual who received it can use it, can throw it out, can do whatever it is that they need to do with it, but they do not need to receive anything back from you. Our journey is from the energy of the ego in the world dimension, and as we begin to love more and more, as we begin to go through life and being able to love more and more, then we progress from ego to altruism. And in altruism, we know that the other is more important than ourselves, that the other human being is more important than our egos. In Satika 24, there is a section called True Love. Do not be surprised at true love. Do not presume it does not exist. That which introduces you to yourself is this. That which makes you love yourself is this. You are a fruit of the all universe that came into existence from seven shells. It is so difficult to reach you that the first step of this reunion is true love. Unless the hand of true love peels your outer skin, you cannot break your shell, you cannot be in the truth, you cannot attain heavens. You are a globe of the all universe. Once you peel off your shells, you will pour into your essence. You will attain the divine light of your spirit. Then you will attain the gratification of the divine power. neither God nor books can give you all this development. That which will give you this is true love and love. You will first transcend yourself. You will reach your essence self. You will add to it the divine light of your spirit. Then you will attain the heavens. In Satsangil 54, it says, the most beautiful thing you would do is to love, in order to understand that you live. Because you come into existence with love, you blaze with love, you make your evolution with love, you attain O with love. This is the initial plan of the established evolutionary ordinance. The first setting out is the path of love. So as long as we're able to love and recognize the love in the essence of everyone else, then you're able to progress and be able to attain ourselves and be able to find ourselves and progress on the evolutionary ordinance. Again, the most beautiful thing you would do is to love in order to understand that you live, because you come into existence with love. You blaze with love. You make your evolution with love. You attain, oh, God, with love. This is the initial plan of the established evolutionary ordinance. The first setting out is the path of love. In Satsangil 18, it says, in gardens in which seeds of love are sown, flowers that have never been seen bloom. And in Satsangil 40, the time has come for my human beings to unify flower by flower, unified in a single body as a tree of love, and to create the greatest power of my cosmos called love. So again, each one of us have seeds implanted in us. And as we go through life, and as we read the knowledge book, the energies and the frequencies of the knowledge that we're reading, where those energies are equal to those seeds that are in our essence, then those seeds become fertilized, they become alive, and they start growing. Eventually, through going through the evolutionary path, through gaining and giving more and more love, then those flowers eventually, that those seeds become plants, and eventually they will bloom into flowers and produce fruit. So that's a metaphor for our being able to evolve and actually to reach our full potential and to be able to really become ourselves, our true essence selves, which have been perfect from the get-go. And in Satsangil 40, we've been going through evolution for a long time. We've been given knowledge and energies through a long time. The experiences that we're going through are actually basically just stepping stones to get more power and to be able to grow. And in Satsangil 40, the time has come for my human beings to unify flower by flower, unified in a single body as a tree of love, and to create the greatest power of my cosmos called love. So love is a power. Love is a gift. Love is the essence of anything and everything that exists. It is the power of love that created everything as it is and will keep creating it and keep evolving as time goes on. So at this point, to summarize the talk, there are many different ways to express love. My favorite expression is, I cannot hear what you're saying because your actions speak louder than your words. So instead of talking about love or trying to express love, we just need to be in love and to give love, to serve, to be able to help people around us, to be able to make each day better than the last for everyone around us, and to be able to be in the state or the frequency of love, which is characterized by giving from the essence, expecting nothing in return. So just needed to say that. And if I didn't mention before, the the website for the World Brotherhood Union, which is located in Istanbul, Turkey, is www.dkbdavidkiteboymevlana.org.tr. Again, www.dkb-mevlana.org.tr. The website for the United States is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. My phone number is 973-787-7035. You can call or text me with any questions you may have or suggestions for a topic. Email address is mmjp99@gmail.com or marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. Please email me with any questions or suggestions or discussions about any topics that we have covered. Sorry, allergies are kicking in. Okay, so again, and the website for the Call to Friendship organization is www.calltofriendship.org. Okay, that's all she wrote. Love. Thank you.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity at its time of transition to the golden age that provides the truth, energies, and knowledge. Now she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in next time for another amazing show on Knowledge Book Radio.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.